Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Plain View's Watercolors by Judy Thompson is on display at Augustana University. You can see it at the Madsen Nelson Elman Galleries of the Fantail Building through February 11th at the Center for Western Studies. Judy Thompson's work is inspired by the ever-changing landscapes of South Dakota. Her artwork has received national and regional awards. She's a touring artist and artist in schools and communities with the South Dakota Arts Council. Thompson has also served as artist-in-residence through the National Park Service at Homestead National Monument in Beatrice, Nebraska, and at Badlands National Park in Interior, South Dakota. And she joins us on the phone this morning from Orange City, Iowa. Judy Thompson, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Laurie. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm such a fan of your work, and for people who need an immediate image in their head, we should talk about some of your book covers they might have seen. Tell us a little bit about some of the more widespread work that people can connect with right away.
Well, I am the cover artist for the Pioneer Girl series, which is published by the South Dakota Historical Foundation Press out of Pierre. And it is the Laura Ingalls Wilder autobiography, which is the first book in the series. So I did that cover of Laura sitting in the prairie, writing and looking into the distance.
It's a lovely image. And did you have any idea when you were doing the cover for that book that the books themselves would turn into such sensations that they were in the publishing world?
Well, not at all.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, it was quite a surprise. I had my Homestead series, which is being exhibited at the Center for Western Studies, was on tour and being exhibited right in Pierre in the Cultural Center. And that building also houses the South Dakota Historical Press. So that's where my work was seen. And I got a call out of the blue from the editor-in-chief who was working on the Pioneer Girl series and wanted to know if I'd be interested in doing a book cover for them. And I said, sure, sounds interesting. What's the book? And nearly fell over when she told me it was Laura Ingalls Wilder's autobiography. So that's how that connection got made and how I got into doing those book covers.
And how did you come up with that image? Was that something that you were able to sort of bring different ideas to the table, or were there parameters that are different from creating an art on a canvas, you know, for display?
Well, when I do a piece of artwork, I like to think about what I'm trying to create and get a feel for it. And when I was thinking about the Laura image, I, of course, am very familiar with the books. That the image that I painted came to me immediately. But I did create several sketches so that the people at the publishing house could choose which one they would like. Thankfully, they chose the one that's on the cover, and we went from there. It was an interesting project because I had to not only try to capture Laura as we would imagine her, but it also had to be historically correct in terms of her dress. And so it was very interesting to work with the Historical Society in creating this cover and the covers for the other books in the series.
Right. Tell us a little bit about the work that's on display at the Center for Western Studies now. What is the exhibition like?
That exhibition consists of several different elements. The first would be the Homestead series, and that consists of 12 paintings which I created from my time at the Homestead National Monument in Nebraska. And it tells some of the stories of the early pioneers during the Homestead movement. It also has images of the published book covers in the Pioneer series. And in addition to that, it has prairie scenes of other artwork that I've done.
Tell me a little bit about that time in Homestead National Monument in Nebraska and what that residency was like. How is that sort of set up for you as an artist?
It's interesting. The National Park Service offers residencies at at least 50 or more sites around the United States. So artists have to apply for them. And I had heard about these residencies and snooped them out a bit, and thought this would be a great way to expand my artistic horizons. So many of them are in really popular areas like Yellowstone or Glacier National Park. But I discovered that there was a residency in Beatrice. And it was the second year, and in the middle of August, and I thought, what could the competition be like, you know, in the middle of the summer in Nebraska at the Homestead National Monument, because I was not familiar with that site.
Right.
So I applied and told them that I was interested in creating a series of artwork. And thankfully, they chose me, and I was there for 2 weeks to do artwork. So they put me. What they do is they give you lodging, and you have to work on site and do some public interactions. I did a workshop. I did a couple of lectures while I was there, and then did quite a bit of research, reading journals and looking through archives to get a feel for what I could create with my watercolors.
Talk to me a little bit about, you know, kind of telling a story within, you know, a single image, a single watercolor, but that it also often makes you sort of, you know, step into that space as a viewer and imagine more than what might be originally visible. Talk about putting more into it in the sense that there's a narrative in some ways to some of your work.
That's a great question. I myself, as an artist, like to paint the prairies and the Midwest. And I spend a lot of time hiking, putting myself in the environment because it comes alive to me, and I feel I can put that into my artwork. So during a residency, you're expected to do that, to be within the landscape and to interpret that. So that's one thing, to do the landscape, but when there's a story attached to it, like with the homesteaders, I have to connect by reading some of their firsthand accounts and really studying some of these photographs. And you start to see and get a feel for what it might have been like to be there yourself. So several of the images, they touch on different things. I have one image of some cattle under a cottonwood tree in orange and purples and blues. And that whole idea was how precious shade was on the prairie. Hmm. There were no trees, and the trees that there were, people actually named the trees, and if they had any time at all on a Sunday, they would go visit the trees and just sit in the shade. It was a big deal.
Huh.
And so animals, like cattle, to find shade like that was a real blessing because there was no reprieve from the heat on the prairie. So with those thoughts in mind, how can I show how that might feel or look within a piece of artwork? So with this Homestead series, I tried to attach a description of why I painted it, as well as a quote that also helped me interpret the artwork, because writers have a good way of saying things in a way that maybe I can touch on with my imagery.
Huh. So were people telling, they were writing stories about the you know, the naming of a tree and the importance of it? Where did you find that nugget from history?
Oh, well, Willa Cather talks about it. Actually, Laura Ingalls Wilder talks about it in her book. There was a tree that she referred to as Lone Tree. But yes, they are. It's within a lot of the writings and some of the journals of what I had read.
I'm going to have to go back and read some of those. You're a careful reader. That's a good. And let's talk about. Yeah, go ahead.
When I read a selection, maybe what stands out to me may not stand out to somebody else. But it's like, wow, that's really interesting. And to lull it, you know, mull that over a little bit and see what I can come up with.
But what I'm wondering about that too is to tie it into what you were just saying about taking a walk and hiking. And you probably do that differently than a lot of us do when we go for a walk or in the outdoors. You're inhabiting that environment as an artist, you know, almost without even trying at this point. Tell us a little bit about just taking a walk. Are you bringing a notebook? Are you gathering images? Like, are you taking pictures? Are you just walking and forgetting about everything?
Well, I usually try to take a camera, but I've spent a lot of time, a lot of years walking the prairie. But, you know, when you feel the wind and you see the horizon, and my husband and I walk the same park many times every weekend, and to see the changes. So, for instance, the grasses, the prairie grasses, they change in color all through the year, as well as in texture. And so I try to visually remember that and try to put those kinds of details in my painting because I find them extremely beautiful. So to capture that is fun for me. It's interesting. My husband, of course, is not art-minded. So it's an interesting kind of a connection when we're hiking because I'm looking at, wow, you know, look at how the light goes between the trees. And he's probably thinking about, you know, where the next turn is in the bend. So I think between the two of us, we probably make a pretty good pair.
That's right. Talk to me about motion in your artwork, because there's some, you know, that there's almost a Van Gogh type motion in the sky and the clouds, and it's really noteworthy. How do you handle motion in a piece of visual art?
Now, are you saying motion or emotion?
Motion. Movement.
Motion. Okay, movement. Well, Van Gogh, I mean, he's an oil painter, so he was able to also add brushstrokes that have movement to it because the paint is thicker. I use watercolor, and it's not as easy to leave a brushstroke, although you can. It's not near as tactile. But I add other mediums to my artwork, sometimes wax or charcoal, so I can get more of that movement in. But a lot of it has to do with compositional elements, like diagonals will always show more movement in the artwork. The piece we were talking about earlier, the book cover for Laura Ingalls Wilder, I showed movement with the wind going through her hair. Mm. And that particular decision caused quite a bit of controversy when the book cover came out. Because, remember, we were talking about how it needed to be historically correct. There were people who immediately responded to that book cover saying, well, Laura would have had a bonnet on. We wouldn't have had sun on her hair and wind in her hair because young girls at that time period always wore a bonnet, which may have been true. But if you read Laura's books, that was the first thing that came off her head.
I was going to say.
She cut it outside.
They wanted her to have a bonnet on. She was supposed to.
I my guns, and that bonnet came off. And, of course, that her hair shows the breeze and the bend in the grasses show the wind coming through the prairie, which is very rarely if there's no wind.
Right. Interesting. Huh. I love this piece called Wide Open with the blues and the sort of farmhouse in the distance. When you look at a certain landscape and you're kind of deciding, you know, what you want to depict and what captivates you? What's worth your time at this point?
It's interesting, that piece, Wide Open, the title, the openness of the prairie and the cloudscape sweeping through there. You know, again, I was walking, hiking, mm-hmm. and thought, you know, this is just so unique to where we live. Sometimes it's that open space. Sometimes it's the way the light hits something. It's called negative space, the space between objects that might be captivating. And that's a good question as to exactly what motivates me to put something down on paper. It just triggers something, and it makes me want to sketch it and capture it. And I do a lot of sketching and drawing before I actually put the paint to the paper. And many of my ideas don't necessarily make it. So I play around with ideas till I feel I can capture something well, and then I try to execute it with the paint.
Tell me about your time in schools and with the community through the Arts Council, where, you know, when you go into a classroom and you've kind of listened to what a teacher might want or what a school might want, what are some of the things that you try to, you know, bring with you as we look at art, the bigger context of art education today, what it meant to you, and then as you sort of bring it to others, talk a little bit about your time in schools.
That is a really rewarding opportunity to go into a school. The South Dakota Arts Council has a program asking professional artists to do that, and schools can request us from the South Dakota Arts Council's website. Many of the schools I go to are underserved schools that are smaller, that don't even have an opportunity to provide an art program at the school. And that is extremely fun to do because the kids are so excited and really have no background or not much background in the visual arts. Other schools, I supplement their program, and many times the school will have an idea to supplement their curriculum. So, for instance, I've done art classes and science classes where we talk about chemistry and how pigments are put together and maybe a little bit of how the history of painting evolved with the development of paints and using some of those same pigments to create artworks in a science classroom, which is a fun approach. Other times with elementary students, I know I am going to be going to a school in the spring where we're going to connect Dr. Seuss Day with painting and talk a little bit about illustrating and how an illustrator would position things on paper and tell the story visually along with the words. So there's lots of different approaches, and you can connect with language arts, science, different disciplines in the classroom.
Judy Thompson, in our remaining minute, tell us what you're working on right now.
Well, I am trying to do maybe some more stylized landscapes. So they're maybe a little more abstract looking, but work with a lot of texture and color, because sometimes we get so familiar with what we see. I'm trying to push myself and maybe have other people see the landscape a little bit differently to appreciate it that much more.
Judy, thank you so much for being here with us today. Plain Views, Watercolors by Judy Thompson is on display at the Center for Western Studies. That's at Augustana University. You can see it through February 11th. It's at the Madsen Nelson Illman Galleries of the Fanto Building. Judy Thompson, thank you for being here. We appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.